God is good. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever. Oh, honey.
Oh, how did that even happen?
It's all right. We'll take it out of your check. She doesn't get one, but it's all right. Come on, God is good, isn't He? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you remember last week, we talked about how to walk in a wilderness. Anybody remember that? Woo! If you missed it, you missed half your life. It's okay. God, come on. God is good. God is good. God is good. We're going to talk this morning about entering your promise. Entering into your promise. Glory to God. How many have had a promise from God? All of you. Right? All of you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus is available to all of you. Amen? But this morning, I just want to talk about, okay, how do we enter into the promise? And how do we, you know, sustain and act when we get into the promise? And God, how are you going to do that? And it's really interesting because many of us in times past have received things from God. But, you know, life goes on. Life goes on. Life happens. I was listening, most of you or many of you know, Gateway Church in Texas, Robert Morris is the pastor. And I was listening to one of his sermons and he was talking about, you know, that Mary was blessed. She was highly favored of God. And so we go, man, I'm highly favored of God. And we think, I'm highly favored of God. My life is going to be peachy. No problems. Sail right on through. Well, if Mary was highly favored of God and she went through what she went through, right, it doesn't mean that it's going to be without obstacles. But what it means is God is with you in and through the obstacles. Amen? So good. God is so good. I just want to tell you this story that sometimes we've had promises from God, we've received promises of God, we've just been excited about the promises of God, but then life happens. And sometimes we have to go back and relearn some things in order to get back in the place where that promise is real to us. You know, I remember this years ago, I performed my sister and my brother-in-law's wedding, and instead of getting me a gift or anything, they took me skiing, snow skiing. I hadn't been snow skiing in many years. As a young kid, I used to do it all the time. Was fairly good at it, and you know. But I thought, man, this is awesome. This is going to be awesome. And I thought, okay, but I haven't been for a while, right? What's it going to be like to be entering back into that atmosphere? And so the day came and I rented skis and did all the things that I needed to do and got up there and got on the chairlift. I was so excited about skiing, but I thought, I got to get off of this chairlift. I haven't done that for a while. You know, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? But the reality is, as soon as I got back into it, it just clicked back in, right? I was able to ski like maybe not as well as I used to ski, but everything came back in. But at the end of the day, one more run we're going to take, because that's the way, when I used to ski, it was like, how many times can you back up the chair so you get down the chair? Forget lunch, forget all of that. We're just going to ski until we drop, right? That's kind of, well, I hadn't been skiing for a while. Years. So I thought, but one more run. I'm just going to make one more run. So I went up the chair, coming down the chair. The top of my thighs started to burn so bad, I would just go a few feet and stop and go, oh, a few more feet. Oh, but I loved it so much. Because I was back into something that was familiar, something that brought me pleasure, something that brought me great gain. But watch this. Sometimes you have to go back and prepare yourself at the beginning for what you used to be used to. Does that make sense? And sometimes in our relationship with God, it's the same way. You remember in the book of Revelations where he was talking to the church, he says, listen, I got this one thing against you. You've lost your first love. Go back, repent and go back and do the first works over. And so when we're talking this morning about entering and staying into your promise, you might have to go back and remember some things and go, oh yeah, I used to do that. Why did I stop doing that? Right? Why did I stop doing that? So go with me to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look at a few things because this is the story of Moses was now dead and the whole generation that God was mad at in the wilderness, it all died off, and now Joshua is in charge. And you know, God told Joshua, you just got to be strong, you got to be courageous, you got to do what I tell you to do, meditate on my word all the time, and you'll enter into the promised land. And we're going to see some things here that I think that we can relate into our own lives. Glory to God. It's so good. It's so important. Hallelujah. In Joshua chapter 1, and if you'll read with me the 13th verse. And it says, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you the rest and is giving you this land. So the first step in walking into your promise or living in your promise is that you've got to remember the word that was spoken. Right? You know, Donnie, she's about to kick her. She's kind of stealing part of my sermon, and that's okay. It happens all the time. And oftentimes, Lila and I, we don't communicate. I don't say, well, this is what I'm speaking on, so give me these four songs. She just listens to the Lord, and oftentimes, it's amazing how God knows what's going to happen, right? And everything lines up with what's going to happen. And so for us, it's to come back to the familiar place. And am I remembering the word? Am I remembering what God said? Am I remembering not only what God said in his word, but what God spoke to me personally? Have I put myself in remembrance of that? And if I'm not, what do I need to do? I need to repent. And repent really means to turn around and do something different. Right? It's repentance isn't even the picture that we get. When you think about somebody repenting, we think about somebody on their knees just crying and bawling their heart out and just, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. That's a step of repentance because that's a recognition of something that's wrong. But repentance doesn't happen until you turn around and your life is changed because you're doing things differently. So what we're talking about when we're talking about repenting and do the first works over, it's go back into, listen to, and absorb the word that you heard and get back into the word. Does that make sense? So remember the word. And it's like, oh, you know, it's been a long time since I've thought about that. It's been a long time since I've really meditated on that. It's a long time. And so I need to get back to remembering what God said. Come on. Now, many of us, it can be really simple. But yet, I've found that the most simple things in the Word are the most profound. Right? You know, keep it simple, saint. You know how to saint, right? Keep it simple, saint. I want to say the other, but I'm not going to. Keep it simple, saint. In other words, this principle. Just think about this for a minute. God loves me. Say that again. God loves me. When's the last time you really began to think about that? Now watch this. God didn't give Jesus because you deserved it. God didn't give Jesus because you earned it. God didn't give Jesus because He just thought you were so special. But you are. And you are highly favored. Right? But the reality is that He gave Jesus because He loved you. So, I don't like necessarily the term self-worth, because sometimes that can get the wrong connotation. But I do like the value that comes when you look at yourself through the eyes of that God loves me, that God values me, that God treasures me. Why is that? Again, I was talking with somebody this morning, I think it was Zach, we were talking about how when God uses you, there's no way you can take credit for it. Like you pray for somebody and they're blessed, they're healed, they're delivered or whatever. That's awesome and it's a thrill, but there's no way I can take credit for it because it's all to Him. So when I say God loves me, it's not about me, it's about Him. But I've got to come back to that place where I've remembered the Word. Remember the Word. Remember the Word. And again, well, I've said this over and over again, but it bears repeating again, that it's one thing to get the Word in you, and you do that by meditating on the Word, reading the Word, but it's another thing for you to get in the Word. Put yourself in the Word. Come on, it's like we all know the verse. We've quoted it since we were little kids. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And you can say it really fast and really loud. But have you ever stopped and said, for God so loved Bruce? Come on, say it with me. For God so loved Bruce. No, you're supposed to put your name in there. But God so loved, right, that He gave His only begotten Son. Right? So the principle is we've got to remember the Word that God said to us when we're entering into the promise. You got it? So remember the Word which was spoken to you. And watch this. The Lord your God is giving you rest. The Lord your God is giving you rest. Did you know that God wants His people to live in peace? And not turmoil. He doesn't want us mentally depressed, mentally despondent. Even if things are tough, He still wants us to have the rest. How do we get there? How do we get there? I wish I could live that way. If you remember the Word and put the Word first place in your life, it'll help stabilize you and bring you back to the place where you can. Right? It's not about, well, I failed this. This didn't happen. That didn't happen. I was believing You for this, God, and this didn't happen. So I'm walking away from the promise because of my frustration. When the reality is you need to come back to the promise and stay in His rest. How many know that everything that God has given is because of His grace? Right? How many know that grace and favor are the same word in the Greek? Come on. God has given me great favor, but His grace. Well, how do you enter into grace? Does anybody know? One word. How do you enter into grace? What's that? Say that one more time. Yes, but it's by grace, through faith, that you're saved. So every bit of grace or favor that you walk into is because you believe what He said. I got saved because I said, yep, that's for me. God loves me. I believe in my heart, so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God, You've raised Him from the dead. Therefore, I've entered into that grace. Right? So every promise is like that. The rest of God. The rest of God. In Hebrews it talks about they couldn't enter into my rest because of unbelief. So if you want to walk in the promise of God, you have to continue in that place where, Lord, I believe what you said. I just believe what you said. Whether I see it, whether I don't, God, it doesn't matter because I'm entering in and I'm staying in the rest of the promise that you've given to me. Now, from a practical standpoint, sometimes it doesn't appear on your time schedule. Right? It doesn't appear on your time schedule. So what do you have to do? You have to, watch this, you have to fight to keep the rest. Now, it sounds contradictory, but you have to fight to keep the rest. How do you fight to keep the rest? You remember the Word. You remember the Word. But God has said. But God has said. But God has said, right? But God has said, so you remember the Word. Now, go to Joshua chapter 3. Let's just start in chapter 3 and verse 1. So then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove, and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So they're getting ready to go into the promised land. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it for about 2,000 cubits measure. But the point back in verse 3 is this. Put up 3 again, please. They commanded the people, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, then you go after it. You go after it. You go after it. What does the ark of the covenant represent? Can anybody tell me? The presence of God, absolutely. So the first thing is you go after the Word of God. You remember the Word of God. But the second thing is you go after His presence. Come on, you go after His presence. God, I need your presence. And oftentimes the presence of God is not in our feelings, but it's in the peace that comes with knowing that God is with us. Lord, I'm going to live in, I'm going after your presence with everything. Lord, and if I don't know your presence is with me, I'm not going anyplace else. God, I'm staying in your presence. See, if you want to enter your promise, you've got to know the Word that God has put inside of you for that promise. But the second thing is you need to know that His presence is with you. His presence is in you. Come on. I love the presence of God. I've had many, many, many experiences in the presence of God over the years. Incredible things. And not just when things were going well. Not just when things were going well. I remember one time me and my family, we were going through something that was pretty major. Pretty traumatic. And as I'm telling you this story, it's one of those moments that you can see in your mind because it touched me that hard. I was driving in the car after a meeting things looked really bad. I was going to a meeting and I yelled at the top of my lungs, "Why, God?" You ever had one of those moments? Right? Well, when you were doing everything you thought was right, but nothing. Why, God? I'm not telling you that I had angels in the car and this aura that came around. None of that happened, but in my spirit, I heard that I'm with you. It's going to be all right. it's going to be all right. Now, I'm telling you, as long as you know the presence is there, you can get through the why God phase. Right? But if you don't know the presence is there, then that why God phase will be overwhelming, and it can cause you to go away from God instead of being with God. If you want to stay in the promise, you've got to stay in the presence. Come on, you've got to stay in the presence. And sometimes, man, I love His presence when it's so incredible that you're changed by it. And I truly believe this, that you can't spend a lot of time in the presence of God without being affected by the presence of God. Right? So staying in the promise, being in the promise, living in the promise, you've got to stay in the Word. You've got to stay and meditate on the Word and remind yourself of the Word that He's spoken over you, and then you've got to continue in His presence. Colossians 3 says it this way. He said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Right? I think that we leave the promise of God, and one of the indicators of that is that we get into confusion, we get into turmoil, we get into strife, we get into all of those things, and without really knowing it, right, we've left the promise. And what I'm telling you is the minute that you recognize that, make an about face and say, no matter what, I'm getting back to the peace of God, to the presence of God. And sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. You can think about it and talk to God, and the Holy Spirit will show you the point of departure. Right? And like it says in Revelation, come back and do those works again, Lord. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters but your peace. And so, Lord, I'm going after, I'm stretching forth, and I'm not moving until I know where your presence is leading me. Does that make sense? Again, entering, staying in, even retrieving or going back to the place of promise. You've got to remember the Word, but then you've got to remember His presence. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now look at Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. And verse 1 it says, and it came to pass when all the people had crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourself 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm, and you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. And so what he's saying is, go get some stones. You know, when you were in my presence, and the presence carried you through the river on dry land, and you entered into the place of rest, there were some stones there. Get a hold of them. One for every tribe. And then the idea was, is you're going to build an altar. We talked a little bit that last week. But entering into the promise, you have to build an altar. An altar in your heart, an altar in your mind. Why? Because you have something to look at when things seem contrary to it. But not only that, we're going to read about this. Because I believe that everything that God does for you, through you, is not supposed to be just for you. You're supposed to be used by God as an example of His love, so that you can point other people back to, this is what God has done. Donnie did that this morning with the kidney story, right? Glory to God, that's awesome. That's awesome, but again, gives God the glory. Verse 5, and Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord in the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what did these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and it crossed over the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. So when you're coming into the promise, you not only need to have His Word and you need His presence, but once you start to enter in, you need to build an altar. And you do that oftentimes by telling the story. This is what God did for me. This is how God... And the first person that you tell it to is you. And then you tell it to yourself again. And the older you get, the more... You remember the time. Do you remember the day? Do you remember... And the reason for that is because pressures of outside will come and life happens, and sometimes you get so far away that you don't see it anymore, but all you have to do is walk back past the altar. Oh yeah. Remember the time. God's presence brought us through the river. It seemed impossible. It seemed like God was nowhere to be found. It seemed like God left us in the wilderness for such a time. But yet I remember the day that this came to pass in my life. Right? Come on. You've heard me tell the story before, but I was going through a time and it was awful. And it was, I mean, there was pressure. And up to that point, I didn't understand what the spirit of fear was. I'd been afraid, right? Again, back to skiing. I skied with crazy people when I was a teenager. And that's how I learned to ski. And so they'd go up to a cliff instead of just skiing around it. They'd jump off of it. So I'd follow. And it was scary. But that wasn't the spirit of fear. That was just the moment before the excitement. Right? Pushed past it and had a blast doing that. Right? Woo! Did I just do that? Yes. And I lived to tell it. Sometimes the falls were amazing too. But the reality is... But this time, there was a fear that tried to grip me and hold me and tell me that nothing was going to work and, you know, you're pathetic and where's your God now? And that type of thing came upon me, right? And so that spirit of fear was there. And I knew the scripture that says God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. But that's not what I needed at the moment. I got to Isaiah 41:10, and that was the scripture that God dropped in my heart. And not only dropped it in my heart, but two or other people witnessed that scripture to me when they were praying for me. But fear not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are incensed against you shall be as nothing, shall be as a non-existent thing. You shall look for them, but you shall not find them. And in the midst of what I was going through, in the midst of that promise, fear was trying to take over, right? But that fear had to give way to the promise. So even to this day, when fear tries to come to me, I go back to the altar that was set up inside of my heart. That, oh, no, 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 I don't have to be fear. I will refuse fear because God said, and I not only God said it, but I watched it be accomplished. I remember the day when the day before they were attacking, the next day they were nowhere to be found because He fulfilled that in me, right? So that's an altar in my heart. And I need to not just tell that. The reason that I say it is not to brag on me, but it's to brag on God, is to remind you. And so when you're giving a testimony, when you're talking about what God has done to you, you're taking people to that altar and you're saying, listen, I know you're going through something, but let me tell you what God did for me when? Your kids. Your kids should hear your testimony. Let me say that again. You know, you assume that they know, but they don't know. Right? Listen, son, this is what happened. This is how I met God. This is how God brought me through. This is how, and even your grandkids, you know, I wasn't always like this. Right? I was a different man, but I gave my heart to Jesus, and this is how it happened, and this is who I am now. But I want to take you back to the altar so that every time you think about me, you can see me through the stones that I've erected in the place where God brought me through to His promised land. So you see, you need to have the Word, and you need to have that engraved in your heart, and you need to follow after the presence. But as God is pulling you and leading you into the promise, you need the altar set up so that when the promise seems to go away a little bit, you can go back. Oh, no. Remember the altar. Shoot, come on. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So we need the Word. We need His presence. We need a reminder. We need to remind ourselves. Glory to God. Now go to Joshua chapter 5. How many that know that there's oftentimes when the greatest hindrance to our walk with the Lord is us? Right? It's not the devil, although he's real. It's not your enemy. But it's that space between your head where the thoughts are generated, in your heart where the thoughts are generated. So what do we do? Again, we're talking about living and entering and staying in the promise of God. Look at chapter 5, and we'll just start in verse 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were at the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. In other words, don't mess with those people because God is with them. Right? I think that we should have that kind of reputation. I don't know what it is, man, but I've tried to come against that church. It just doesn't happen. I mean, God's with them. Somehow they always seem to come through. Somehow, and again, that's kind of the thinking that we should have. Watch this. Verse 2, it says, at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the son of Israel again the second time. So that Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All of the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all of the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. Here's the point that I'd like to make. Sometimes when we enter the promise, we must leave the flesh of the past behind. In other words, whatever God is doing and however He's pulling us through, we've got to operate in that outside of our wants, needs, you know. And God, in other words, God, I want Your will, Your way, no matter what the cost, no matter what this leads. Lord, I've already seen Your promise. I've already seen Your presence in us. I've already built an altar in my heart to it. But the flesh is going to try to rage against what God has promised. And what do I mean by the flesh? I really mean the flesh that is controlled by the soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Right? Because sometimes there's a time between the giving of the promise and the fulfillment of the promise, and your flesh is going to try to get, well, see, it hasn't happened yet. Right. Well, you see, it hasn't happened. Well, God promised you this, and it didn't happen. God did, you know, you prayed for that person and they died. You know, all of those things that God would try to place inside of you. Well, yeah, you know, but that failed or this failed or that person left or that person left or, you know, all of those things will try to come up against you. But you have to come back to the place where I'm not moved by what I feel. Because there was a place where I died to myself. In the putting off of the flesh, putting off of the old man, and I'm putting on the new man, which is renewed day by day by day by day. You can't live in your flesh and expect to live in the promise. Glory to God. So sometimes you know what you have to tell your flesh real nicely? Shut up! Shut up, flesh. You don't have a say here. You're not in charge here. We must let our spirits rule our flesh. Glory to God. And watch this. It's up to us to set ourselves apart. There's something about discipline, you know, in a discipleship program where, you know, you can get involved in a discipleship program and you follow the edicts of the discipleship program and that takes you so far. But if you have not changed your heart, then there will come a time where you'll run from that discipleship. I remember one young man years ago came to the church, and an awesome young kid, and some of you will remember him maybe if I told you his name, which I can't remember, so I won't tell you. But he was an awesome young guy and on fire for Jesus. But there was something about him. He came out of the gangs and different things. There was something inside of him that there was a little bit of rebellion there. He was a good-looking kid. He was, you know, had everything going for him. And he went through this discipleship program. It wasn't in our church, but it was in a different church. And it was a 2-year thing. And man, the first year you talk to him, and man, it's going great. Blah, you know, but things. And second year, yeah, things are great. And he was almost ready to graduate from this discipleship program. And then I heard that he was no longer part of it. Because there was something in his flesh that rebelled against the promise. And it caused him to not fulfill or stay within the promise. And so the discipleship didn't fully happen for him. Not because the program was wrong, but because he hadn't circumcised his heart. Does that make sense? So many of us, it's like, yes, Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your presence. Woo, glory to God. Lord, I built that heart within me, but I think I'll just keep this foreskin for a while. Thank you very much. Right? But no. Woo! But watch this. The cutting of the flesh hurts. I'm looking at Marvin because he's going to have knee surgery this week. The cutting of the flesh hurts. Right? And many of you, I'm looking at you that had operations and they cut and they, you know, it hurts. I've been in a knife fight. Right? But the hurt will go away. And the pain will go away. Watch this. But what's left over is the new knee, is the new promise, is that doesn't hurt anymore. That's not happening. That cancer is gone. Whatever, right? So watch this. In the middle of the promise, there may be a place where you have to leave the flesh behind, and it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be comfortable. You're not going to like it. Right? You're isn't this good? Isn't this inviting? Isn't this wonderful? You're not going to like it, but you'll like the results if you stay with it. If you won't let the flesh win. So again, man, we have to come to the place where, Lord, I remember your word, and God, I'm just going after your presence, your peace, and everything. I built an altar in my heart, and Lord, I've told my flesh, you're not going to win here. God is going to win. I refuse to do that. Now go to Joshua chapter 6. And we'll not read the full story. Anybody that's been in Sunday school knows the story. God said, you're going to go take Jericho. Joshua fought the battle at Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle at Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Right, right. We remember the story, right? It came down. But watch this. God spoke the word about the promise of the walls coming down, but the avenue for it to happen probably didn't make a lot of sense to the people. God, shouldn't we just go charge the wall and jump over them and the angels come and knock people out of the... Nope, that's not... Here's how you do it. You walk around it every day for 6 days. Don't say anything. Just walk. Can you imagine the people on top of the wall going, Martha, they're here again. I don't know what they're doing. They're not saying anything. And then, Martha, you won't believe it. It's the seventh day. This is their third lap. They're walking around the city. Yeah, they got this box thing out in front of them, and they're walking around. They're just walking around. And then all of a sudden, on the seventh time, they blow the shofar. They shout unto the Lord, because that's the plan that God gave them, right? What were they doing? They were doing what God said to do. See, you got to hear the word. And then you got to walk in His presence. You got to build an altar, and you got to put the flesh beside. But then you got to continue to walk the Word, no matter what the circumstances are. Right? So they did the Word, and what happened? And the walls came tumbling down. Right? That's what happened. Your walls will come tumbling down, but when He says to walk, you got to walk. When He says to be quiet, you need to be quiet. When He says to shout, you need to shout. Whether you feel like it or not. Whether you want to or not. God, you said it, I'm going to do it. James said it this way, you have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Who's a doer of the word? The one that sticks with it and does it whether they feel like it or not. The one who, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter if it seems like it's working. I'm going to continue to do it. I will go to my deathbed saying, by His stripes, I am healed. Right? I'll go to my deathbed saying that God loves me. I'll go to my deathbed, whether I feel it, whether it seems like it, whether I'm being persecuted, whatever. I know that my Redeemer lives. Are you with me? But I got to continue in that. I got to continue to do the word. If He says, if He says jump, I got to jump. If He says don't jump, I'm not jumping. Right? It's like, and what gets in our lives that keeps us from continuing to be a doer of the word, oftentimes it's compromise built on because we didn't leave the foreskin behind. Shh. And so we've got to come to the place where we go, nope, no more, no compromise. And taking that stand sometimes, especially in the day that we live, may make you ostracized. You may look a fool. But if He said, don't lie, I'm not going to lie. Right? If He said, don't compromise, I'm not going to compromise. Say you have a job and you're working on the job. You're living in the job and the job's paying you very well. And the boss comes to you and say, everything's great. It's awesome. And I know you're out on sales and your count's really good. Everything is good. But here's the thing. We're not going to give this to the company, but we need to promote it like we are, because that'll cause more business to come in. And you go, well, I can't really do that. What, do you want to keep your job? Do you want to stay employed? You want to still make the money that you're making? If you do, I need you to lie for me. But it's not really lying. You know, everybody does it. It's okay. So you got a choice right then. Am I going to stay with the promise of God and His favor? Or am I going to compromise that and live outside of that? I'm going to stick with the Word. I'm going to stick with the Word, even if it costs me my job, even if it costs me my friends, even if it costs me everything. I'm sticking with the Word, because I want to stay in the promise. I want to stay where there's peace. I want to stay where there's joy, right? And so all of us need to come back to the place where I'm not trying to please others, including me. I'm trying to please Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, again, the whole point of everything that I've said is that God, bring us back to the place of Your promise, of living in Your Word and standing in faith for the things that You've spoken to us. And maybe life's happened to you, and maybe struggles and pressure have happened to you, and you haven't seen that promise for a while. I want you to go back and just ask God to remind you of what that was. Pick up the stones again. Oh yeah, yeah, I see it. I see it, God. Thank You for Your peace. Lord, You told me years ago that this would happen and this would happen, and it hasn't happened yet, God, but I am going to rejoice in the truth that You're with me. I'm going to rejoice in the truth that You're for me. I'm going to rejoice that You are the one, come on, who's for me. Is anybody getting anything this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Now watch this. I believe God wants us to state freshly in our hearts, in our own spirits, some of the things that we've let go of this morning and go out of here different. So all of you that are watching, you can do this at home, but let's just pray right now. Father, I sense Your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You're in me. I thank You for the gifts that are within me. You promised me so many things. I've experienced Your love. I know Your peace. I've let it slip away. I see it. But Lord, I'm coming back to the altar that I set so many years ago, and I'm just placing myself in the middle of that, and I'm declaring with my mouth that I'm going to live out of the promise. Restore to me, God, that place of peace. I'm following after Your presence even right now, God. And in the name of Jesus, if you've walked away from Him and let life take over, just come back to Him. Just as simple as, Lord, I see that, forgive me, I'm back in. Lead me, guide me, show me, teach me, tell me, help me, God. And He'll be right there for you, for sure. For sure. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just lift your hands up and just say a simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I need a Savior, that I'm not perfect, I'm not holy, I can't come before Your presence based on my actions. I need somebody to present me before You. And I recognize that that somebody is Jesus. So I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day forward, with Your help, God, I'll walk with You. If you prayed that for the first time, you're saved. God loves you. Get the Bible. Get in the Bible. Find a good church. And just be a part of what God's doing. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask you, everybody that's suffering in their body right now, I ask you to touch them, to heal them, make them whole in Jesus' name. I rebuke demonic oppression off of people right now in Jesus' name. We declare that the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. We declare, Father, though even pestilence tries to come near us, it will not come near our dwelling. Because, God, you are our refuge and you're our rock. You're our fortress, God. It's in you that we trust. We just give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen.